It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
It's nice to have your deadline activists go out there and prove that the team is right in acquiring him. Look at Hayden Wesneski doing it again. Dana Brown, look at you. Look at that acquisition that you made over a year ago, actually. In the not this past offseason, the offseason before, when you traded Kyle Tucker for Wesneski, Paredes, and Cam Smith. And I don't know that it could ever be said that Paredes is playing the worst of the three right now. But at the moment, Paredes is actually playing the worst. He's in the middle of a big slump. But when you throw in Wesneski's performance and Cam Smith has had his moments over the last couple of days, nice return on the Tucker trade as it stands right now. And the Astros get another win. Wesneski avoided, I won't say a catastrophe, but it could have been bad. There was a comebacker that almost hit him in the pitching hand, but instead caught the glove, so that was fortunate. He was able to go six in the game, whereas his counterpart, Yosevich, had to get taken out of the game, and that was the beginning of the end for the Blue Jays and the start of the Astros finding a way to put some runs across, because Yosevich had handled them through, he hadn't been out there long. I believe he only made it through the two, came out the throw to do his routine to start the third and felt the twinge and got removed from the game. And it all started with some hustle. Sometimes those baseball purists are right. You gotta run out everything. Altuve runs out a two-out grounder, reaches base, and then comes around the score. And that's what got it going. There was another run scored. I remember it specifically because of how bad the Jesus Sanchez throw was. He was trying to gun down, I think, Trammell at home. And the catcher didn't even move to try to catch it. Yeah, Sean's.
It was a little like half, like, oh. No,
no, it was so bad. I don't think, like, the catcher was in the pose. Like, I'm going to be able to.
Ready to react.
Whether it's a hopper or yeah. It comes in straight, I'm going to be there and then be able to make a play. The catcher was in that pose and didn't move. Much like an outfielder
yeah,
with a ball.
Yeah, no doubt about
with
it.
With a no doubt about a homer. This was a no doubt about it, no chance throw. It was backed up by the pitcher. So, yes.
Casey Sanchez, man. I forgot how box office he is.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for the good that he does, but if you just can't take your eyes off of him when he's in the middle of a defensive play. Terrible throw. Trammell came around the score, and that led to the Astros running away with it as they win another one. And they have a day game today as they try to win the series. But shout out to former Astros everywhere. Mal Straw continuing to wreak havoc on Taylor Trammell. He was the one who caught the ball that led Taylor Trammell to run around the bases like he hit a home run. Instead, he didn't. And then Mal Straw hit a ball that it was an embarrassing moment out there for Trammell. Fell down. You never want to fall down. As an outfielder, but Trammell one of many guys who has contributed throughout this real run of success for the Astros. They still are only 2.5 games up on the Rangers because the Rangers got the benefit of another outfielder falling down. They were tied with the Giants in the bottom of the ninth. The ball was hit to right field, and the Giants outfielder simply had to stay on his feet to retire the batter. It would have gone into extras. Instead, he falls down. The Rangers get a walk-off win. So they remain 2.5 games out while the Mariners drop another game. They're in the midst of a bad run of play. So they're now 4 games below, 3.5 back, and they're flailing, which is funny. Well, or not funny, but it coincides with something John Heyman's. Was it John Heyman? No. Jim Bowden, who is the reason why we have that sounder where Lance goes, "Shut up, you ass. Shut up, you dummy." It's him talking about Jim Bowden. Jim Bowden said the Astros haven't done enough, and don't be surprised when the Mariners get it together and they overtake the Astros. Has he watched? Now, of course, it's still only 3.5, but the Mariners have been bad. They didn't do really anything to bolster their roster, but he still has faith in this Mariners team. You know what, Jim? In the words of Lance Zierlein, I thought I gave him enough time.
No,
it's up at the top of my page.
Yeah.
To the left-hand side.
This one?
It's. Go ahead. We'll try it out.
Shut up, you stupid ass.
Yes.
Shut up, you dummy.
Yes, that's about.
I had to look up shut up.
Shut up, yeah. That's about Jim Bowden. Lance very strong in his opinion sometimes. So Bowden is not moved by what the Astros are doing. But let's see if the Mariners have anything in the tank as they continue to fall further and further back.
It is, especially with the Astros, what, now winning 12 of the last 14? Is that right?
I believe so.
It was 11 out of the last 12.
Now it's 12 out of 14. Yeah.
It does feel like, and the Rangers sold at the deadline. Even the Mariners, like, kind of sold. Not, you know, Castillo wasn't
pitching
good.
Well, but they traded him away.
And it's like, the Astros are going to kind of walk to this. And then I'd see the standings, whatever, at the end of every night or before every night's games. And I'm like, it still is, like, very close. Yeah. Like, it is not.
It takes a week of bad play.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, we talked about this division. We talked about this division all year in this way. So despite how well they've played, you may expect maybe not a return to the form of earlier in the year, but maybe a slow week where
they just play 500 ball.
Yeah, and the teams that are chasing them have a run where they rip off 6 in a row.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we got a really tight race. So it's part of the what you pay for, your punishment when you play so poorly to start the year and you don't rip off a really good streak of play until late July and August. You're going to be in these moments where you played great baseball, you won a lot of games. And yet, you're not extending the lead to a point where it's out of view of the teams chasing you.
Yeah, you can just hope. Jim Bowden out there.
Jim Bowden out here talking about the Mariners will get it together. Okay, we'll see about that.
Shut up, you stupid ass!
You're
shut
much
up, you
nicer
dummy.
Than Lance.
Yeah, I mean, this was aggressive. It was about. It was about. I don't know if it was about trading someone or I forgot what it was, but he had thoughts on Jim Bowden and not. Kind ones.
It's from January of this year, so probably an off-season thing.
Yeah, I'll have to look back and see. I can go through our doc and see why Lance had that issue. What clip did I play that led him to that response?
Yeah, although someone looks right in how the Astros have played.
The Astros are the cockroaches of baseball.
They have played great baseball.
They have played cockroach ball.
Yeah.
Roach ball.
Roach ball.
I don't know. It really is hard to make that not an insult.
No. It is how we feel about cockroaches. I'm sure they have some redeeming qualities beyond that they're hard to kill. We just don't know any of them because we look at them as vermin.
Yeah.
Things to get out of our sight.
I'm sure they're great pets. I don't know.
I talked about Joe's apartment. when this clip initially came out. That, if you revert back to...
Jerry O'Connell's like, they can't shut up about my movie.
I mean...
the most anyone's talking
about
it.
You know, there are there are, if you want to call them clients or businesses or companies, who monitor radio stations to make sure their stuff airs or clips are played in, or commercials are played or said in the way they'd like.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Jerry O'Connell hiring people to listen out for his, for mentions of him on radio stations, and it's Joe's apartment he's hearing about over and over again on this station? And not even just this station. The hours of 10 to 12, he's hearing, wow.
The last 2 weeks.
Jerry,
wow.
Jerry, we don't know where it's come from.
There's just a...
Yeah, just an uptick of Joe's apartment mentions. Look, Jerry, I don't know how to explain it. There's some guy named Ken Rosenthal. He called the Astros roaches, and for some reason the host knows about your movie and just keeps talking about it.
Oh, is it on Netflix?
I'm sure it could be. Or Tubi. I was assuming Tubi would be where you
found it. It does feel Tubi, Tubi-ish. I'll say the remake. No, it's not currently available in my country. The remake will be on Tubi.
Yes.
Tubi original.
If they ever decide to feature talking cockroaches in a movie,
I know what will happen.
I know where it will be, a Tubi original. So, today, Hunter Brown on the mound as they try to win the series. It's a day game at Daikin. So, let's see if Hunter Brown can continue what he was up to in his last performance, where he looked much more like Hunter Brown than he had in some recent starts as the Astros try to take out the Blue Jays one more time. There were some emotional words from Spencer Arrighetti. He spoke to the media yesterday, discussed the trade and his feelings for Houston. Says Houston feels like home. He's always going to have a fond place in his heart for this city as he moves on with his career. He said he wasn't nervous before the trade deadline. I imagine so. I don't know how many people thought, particularly once Skubal was out the door and Arrighetti had pitched poorly and then got injured, that he was on the move. If you don't, I mentioned the Skubal rep. I mentioned Skubal because when the Astros were casually thrown out there as a team who might be interested, we were trying to figure out what would the Tigers like. Turns out they weren't looking for major leaguers. They certainly were looking for prospects, and whether you think the Dodgers gave up too much or not enough, the Tigers leaned into the future as opposed to the present with a couple of the guys. One of the guys I think is supposed to be up there. I think I forgot his name, but he's supposed to be available or likely to be on the Tigers roster next season as he works his way up in the minors. But they weren't looking for a current starter. So Arrighetti felt safe. We just thought he'd come back from the IL and then he'd be back in the rotation, even though he had been struggling. Instead, he goes to Toronto and said he wants to put on for the country. Well, that's how I said it. He said it in a different way. Said he wanted to represent the country, a whole country, because, as we know, Toronto, the only baseball team up there. So good luck to Spencer Arrighetti. I'm sure at some point the Astros will trade back for him because that's who they trade with, the Blue Jays. They trade guys there. They bring them back. It's just the Blue Jays and the Astros exchanging players.
I hope, and the schedule for next season's already out for some reason, and probably won't happen the way it's printed. I hope that it becomes a standing thing that every trade deadline, the games during trade deadline day, it's Houston, Toronto.
Yeah,
just to honor
have a guy.
Even though Dana Brown might not be here in 4 months,
most likely won't.
But I do hope that it's a tradition that gets honored. Of hey, these two teams might make a trade. It's easier just to have them walk across the dugout.
We know they're going to talk. We know they're friendly with each other.
Yeah.
It's less travel for the players. Just make the trade. Even if it's
how
not around
the saving on an airplane.
Even if it's not around the deadline. Just make sure if you have any consideration of making a trade, let the Toronto-Houston series be the impetus to get the deal done.
Yeah.
Just so these guys don't have to deal with taking a cross-country flight, or in some cases actual cross-country flight, to get to their new spot. You mentioned it being the annual thing. Well, college football has their annual games, and ESPN has the games they're most looking forward to. Some games that happen every year, some games that happen every 6-7 years or so, depending on how schedules work out. So we'll get to that. There's some news out of Texans camp. News that was forthcoming. We found, or at least we figured this was going to happen, but there's a player wearing pads in a helmet and actually out there practicing somewhat. So we'll get to that as the Texans continue getting ready for the upcoming season. We also have a giveaway to do. We'll continue throughout the week to give away places at the listener appreciation party. So we'll do that. I think we found the way we'll do it. It just shows that you listen to the show. So it gives the people who listen, whether it be day to day or occasionally, a chance to win and go to the party. What we did yesterday, we'll do again today. You have to know one of our end of show sounders. And if you successfully enough for Sean's liking, recite it to him, you get tickets at a certain time. I'll give you the time a little bit later. It'll be in the second hour of the show this time around. So you got to lock in and stay with us, and we'll give you another opportunity to listen and win and go to the listener appreciation party. All right, we'll get to some text and stuff when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Aurelia Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Aurelia.
So, news out at Texas camp is Tank Dell is practicing in a helmet and shoulder pads. He did some indie drills, but then he's now off to the side when it comes to teamwork. And I know this only because it was tweeted about, not because there's video of it, because you're not allowed to do that anymore. We talked about it yesterday. You cannot film or take pictures of team drills. That's like 11-on-11 stuff. I don't know if 7-on-7. I was trying to figure out if 7-on-7 is part of that, but maybe not. Either way, Tank Dell out there practicing. So yesterday's conversation about them banning video and pictures led me to think and gave me this would you rather scenario for Sean. And this is narrow casting. It's to a specific group of people. And that group is people who have been weekend board ops at a radio station. So here it is, Sean.
Okay. Would you, very relatable content.
Would you rather be a weekend board op for football season?
Okay.
Which means you will be, let's say you don't do both days. You do a Saturday or a Sunday, whatever. You're the board op for whatever game the station has. By the way, we will have college football games. The Aggies are back with us. And also, we'll do some NFL stuff. So you either do that job or, and you know, that's for the Aggies, it's at most, well, the playoffs could happen. But let's say 12 games a year. 12 Saturdays a year you do that.
Yeah.
Or you're the person who has to tell people not to film Texans practice for however many open practice dates they have. It might be around 12. I'm not sure. So it's not every practice.
Because
the fans and the crowd aren't there all the time.
Yeah,
and the media is expected not to do it. They don't need a minder telling them not to. But I saw a video of the guy walking through, hey, you can't do that. So which job would you rather have? Weekend board up or the person telling fans to stop having fun?
I'll go weekend board up. I'll go devil I know here.
Okay. I'll go. You don't have to talk to anyone.
Yeah. Normally, I mean, you have to be somewhat attentive, but only somewhat.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. It's like the first thing you do here. I don't want to have to be the one that's like, hey, knock it off.
What a job.
That's tough, I don't want to have to put on my like lifeguard voice and like, hey, no running.
No filming. No filming.
Yeah. And then people booing you and you having to be like, hey, I'm just following orders. And that never goes. Yeah.
No one. A lot of people in history have said, I'm just following orders.
That guy is just following orders.
Yeah.
In the red polo. Yeah. In the battle red polo. That guy is just following orders.
Sure. Yeah. When we have the Nuremberg trials on this, we'll see. We'll see if you're allowed to get away with that. If you go out there, if you want to go out to practice and you pull out your phone trying to get a picture or two, just do it before 11-on-11 starts. The Texans don't want you giving anything away when it comes to Nick Caley's more expanded offense. We've a couple of things that have been the baseline of conversations with this Texans team when you ask players. It is Rutledge and his aggressiveness and the swarm mentality of his bringing that to the offense. And also, the offense is going to have more things in it. They're going to do more. They're going to use their backs more. And in fact, Woody Marks talked about it. Let's hear from Woody Marks on that. Woody Marks, who is now sharing a backfield with David Montgomery, talks about how the offense will be more expansive.
We imported more stuff. Some of the things we couldn't do last year, we can do this year. Just by everybody knowing what they got to do. Putting different plays, different routes. With us playing the running back out wide, putting him in the slot, running two back, running backs on the field. So he's putting a lot of stuff in, and we picking up on the good. I think he's doing a good job right now. Just putting me out in different places. In a three, in a two, and on the outside. So he's doing a great job. And I say the receivers out there doing a great job with helping us with the routes and how we get off press and doing all types of stuff. So just working with them guys, I say over the summer and doing training camp right now, it's been good just getting releases as a receiver.
Maybe they need to hire someone to tell Woody Marks not to tell all the secrets. Like that same guy.
Hey, knock it off.
Hey, knock it off, Woody. Stop telling people specifically where we're putting you. Yeah, he was getting for football people the three and the two. He's talking about how you are signified or designated as a receiver when you're lined up out wide. So Woody, hey, knock it off. So the Texans expect a similar offense because they're not discarding their principles, but the hope is in year two, it'll be something that's a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more difficult to prepare for. And if David Montgomery and Woody Marks are going to be on the field at the same time, Woody Marks seems like the right choice to be someone they use out of the backfield, whether it be lined up wide or just a pass catcher from the running back spot. So that's kind of the gist of it. The Jadeveon Clowney open to the media portion of the pressers happened yesterday too, and he's excited to be back, wants to win a Super Bowl. We don't have to play the sound, Sean, but I posed this question to the guys this morning. In the middle of his sound, he goes, I could have played someplace else for more money. Without anyone asking about the deals that were on the table, I am of the opinion that any athlete that does that now has to prove that he had other offers. Because when you tell us that, that's supposed to be you telling us, hey, I really love it here. I really want to be here. Trust me, this is the place I want it to be. I'm going to need to know.
Because it's hard, if it's not in writing to get, like, proof, I'll just settle for name the team.
If you're willing to name the team that offered you more, you took less to be a Texan.
Yeah, it feels like I could have gone to the Broncos for more money. Yeah, if I went to the Texans. Like that would actually,
and that would actually hit home because the Broncos are a title contender themselves.
Yeah,
if the Cardinals were willing to offer you more money, okay, you don't want to be a Cardinal. Cool, understood. Yeah, I need that. I need. If you're gonna tell me that there were plenty more lucrative deals on the table, at least give me one.
Yeah,
give me something that lets me know you're telling the truth.
I'm down with it. In all sports, you know, when, you know, a veteran in the NBA, like, signs to ring chase to be on a minimum, like, all right, tell me, what'd you turn down? What'd you turn down, I don't know, whoever, random DeMar DeRozan? Who'd you turn down?
Because right now, it's much like dudes who say they had a camp girlfriend.
Yeah.
There's no proof of it. You can say it. I'm just looking at him a little skeptical. Yeah. Not that Jadeveon Clowney didn't have better opportunities. Maybe. I don't know. He may have been a one-woman man throughout high school and college. I don't know. But I'm going to say I didn't need it. I didn't need – you're here. That's all that matters. I didn't need the whole guys, I really, really wanted to be here. Trust me. But Jadeveon Clowney, part of our DN rotation, which should be one of the best in football.
And as far as, you know, what you actually need from him, like, I'm pretty confident that Clowney can can provide that even at this point of his career. It's kind of what he's been doing the last, like, 4 years of it. You know, it's just bouncing around team to team, being a, you know, probably third edge rusher, maybe on some teams a little more hungry for that pressure on the edge. Maybe he's the second guy, but, yeah, I think he can do that. Maybe bump inside on some, NASCAR packages type deal on third and longs. And to do all that, and it's like, oh, and it's also, you know, a reunion. Although he's not like – he was a good Texan, but I think most fans were a little, like, disappointed in just the raw production he had as a Texan his first time around. But I think now with the expectations in a lower place, I think he can provide that, and again, basically be the Texans' Carlos Correa of, like, coming back to the first team.
And speaking of Correa, clear to start hitting, so he did go to that doctor yesterday, and the doctor cleared him, so Correa can start the process of working his way back, and it begins in earnest now that he can hit. As far as Clowney, I hope the Texans designate the number 90 as their official alleged generational pass rusher number, because they've had a couple guys who were supposed to be that. I won't even say no doubt about it, but this is our number one overall pick.
Our dude,
defensive end. He is the one.
Yeah.
The number, I wouldn't say the number has been cursed. I would just say the number and the player wearing it has not lived up to the expectation. Yeah. Mario Williams wasn't who people thought he would be. He was a fine player.
But yeah, that's the thing.
They're both good players, but not. We're glad to have taken him number one.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, the thing is always he's never had a double digit sack season. He had a 9.5 and a 9 for the Texans, so he got as close as you can get to doing it. But yeah, I mean, with what he was built to be, you know, it's one of those things where there's just a little bit of. Man, felt like there's a little bit more there. Same thing with Mario Williams, who I'm pretty sure was a little bit more productive pass rush wise, but the same thing, especially in that draft and like how controversial it was to pick him at that time.
Yeah, Mario Williams, he had a 14 sack season, a 12 sacks season, was an All Pro defensive player of the year candidate. So yeah, early on in his career, he was more productive, but just on teams of no consequence.
Yeah.
They just weren't any good. Never made the play.
And by the time they got good,
he was gone.
Yeah.
Actually, he was on that 11 team, but he got hurt, so he never played in the playoffs with the Texans. He only played the 5 games. He got hurt early in the season, and did have some moments with Buffalo where he was pretty good, but only made one playoff appearance his entire career.
That is crazy.
Can you guess what team?
So I know he went to the Bills, but they probably didn't make the playoffs with him.
No.
Just given that time frame of that franchise. God,
it's only one game because this team never wins playoff games.
So it is just me just guessing a team.
I'll give it to you. It's another AFC East team. It was the Matt Moore-led 2016 Dolphins.
I didn't know.
He joined them.
Oh, no, wait. I kind of roughly remember.
It was his final year as a pro.
Yeah.
He didn't play another game after that. He wasn't very productive in the season. Played 13 games. Only had a sack and a half. And that was the end for Mario Williams. He was done at 31 years old.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Which
is crazy.
He's 41 right now.
For pass rushers right now. Pass rushers can hang on a lot longer
than
31.
Vaughn Miller's still doing it.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter's not as old. But you mentioned Jadeveon Clowney's, what, 33 years old? Yeah. Calais Campbell still. Is he still playing football? Did he go back to the Ravens?
He was last year.
He was with the Cardinals last year. He's now with the Ravens at 39 years old. So DNs, D-tackle types, DN types can hang on for a while, and Mario Williams said, I'm good at 31. I forgot the circumstances of that.
I mean, he also made a lot of money.
Yeah, lots and lots of money will do that. He never had to say, I could have gotten more money elsewhere.
Yeah, because he was before rookie contracts or rookie-scale contracts, so he got to negotiate his first deal with the Texans. So I'm not sure what it was. I'm sure by today's NFL standards, it's all right, whatever. But, walking into the league in 2006, making however much he was making, it's not shocking that he was done early.
Yeah, particularly if football wasn't giving him any joy anymore. Okay, we'll do it. I think we did it yesterday at 10:45, right? We'll do it today at 11:05. 11:05, caller 4. All you have to do is call in with your favorite end-of-show sounder. Give it to Sean. He'll reveal it after you give it to him. But you call in with that, caller 4, and I'll remind you again, but it will be at 11:05. If you get in and give him that sounder, you have 2 tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party, which will be August 28th. And I do want to remind you, tomorrow, not only will John and Lance be giving away more spots to the Listener Appreciation Party, they also will be giving you the chance in the 9 o'clock hour to be a part of our fantasy football draft. It'll take place at the Golden Nugget from August 27th to the 28th. Not only are you part of the draft, you get a $200 food and beverage credit and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during the fantasy draft. You can tune in tomorrow for your chance to win. It's not the last time we'll do it, but we've already given away a couple spots. We're giving away a couple more tomorrow. So if you're interested and you can be available to be at the draft that night, August 27th, this is your opportunity tomorrow. It looks like during the 9 o'clock hour. Okay, we'll go to break. We'll get into a couple more things involving the NFL, and then we'll get to some college football at some point. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll see if this comes to Texans camp, if it starts a new trend. But yesterday at Cowboys camp, CeeDee Lamb was practicing catching footballs, not on the jugs machine, which is what a lot of guys do before and after practice. This was at some point, as he had some time, he's got someone, maybe it is a jugs machine, I can't see, it's out of frame, but he's having a footballs fired at him, and considering how quickly they're getting there is probably a jugs machine. He's in a helmet and pads, and also he's got a net over his head. So the net over the helmet as he tries to catch footballs, catches them all. It is CeeDee Lamb. You know, I can't say that it doesn't help. I also don't know that it does. Like, it is much in line with how quarterbacks used to be trained, where a guy would hold a broom and wave at them. Wasn't it Baker who was like on the sand training? Was it Johnny Manziel? It was a quarterback on the sand training.
Yeah, I think there's been a few, because that was the old, like, where Jordan Palmer would take guys to, because he's like a personal quarterback coach.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it was always like, yeah, guys in the stand, in the sand doing like high step on the beach, like dropbacks.
Yeah.
It also, what it reminded me of is Jameis Winston, who also has a bunch of clips of him doing just, I would say, borderline absolutely bizarre workouts, where I'm like, I can kind of see how this is applicable to NFL football, but not really. And either way, you're going to throw 20 interceptions the next season. I don't know why we're going through all the trouble of, like, you know, bouncing a tire at him or whatever, but okay, sure.
So, if CeeDee Lamb, the problem is CeeDee Lamb is already a great player, so I'm not going to attribute anything he's doing to the net over his head.
Someone's going to do it. I guarantee you by Labor Day, there'll be either a pro or college receiver.
Definitely.
That picks up on this.
It definitely gets to high school.
Oh, yeah.
Some high school players.
High school, like,
easy lock.
I might even go, like, it happens in a, like, Houston area high school. Like, it's like, it's going to be so, I would just say Texas, but obviously he's in Dallas. So, like, I think it's a free square that'll happen in Dallas in the DFW area.
Someone very, at least it almost got me, but then I realized, okay, parody, that CeeDee Lamb's fear of wasp has led him to throw that net over his head so he can go catch passes. I mean,
that is, like, to me, as good of a reason as
any. It's hot. It's the summer. You don't want to. Well, he's got a helmet on, so You're probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
But
throw a visor on that.
He wears a visor in practice. Yeah, there are literally no worries for him in regards to the Wasps. But, yeah, if it comes to Texans camp, know where it originated, at least where it got notoriety.
Jalen Knoll.
It's CeeDee Lamb.
Beekeeper. A full beekeeper outfit.
Trying to catch footballs. George Pickens tried and goes, I can't see a damn thing. Well, that's kind of the point.
Really? I didn't know it was that hard.
I think he is like another guy who wears a visor, and not like a regular one, the ones you actually are allowed to do in practice in a game. He wears like a special one in practice, mostly to look cool, I think. But he's got that net around, and he's catching every football. But once again, I've seen CeeDee Lamb catch footballs for now. How long has he been in the NFL?
And then you throw in 2020 draft.
Then the years in college.
Yeah, probably another 3 years.
Yeah, so I've seen him catch footballs at a high rate.
Almost a decade.
I don't think the net will be of much consequence, but he's trying it. And maybe he had a lot of drops last year. I don't know. Anything to get better, I guess. And we'll see if a Texan.
That's how the greats stay the greats.
That's what I've been told.
They throw a beak.
If you're not moving forward.
Helmet on.
Well, we'll see if he gets to a beekeeper helmet. Simply a net right now. Like a malaria net almost.
That's right.
Like right now, almost just.
Whatever, modesty shroud.
Yeah.
Like a Victorian woman would have.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb's going to see it. CeeDee Lamb's going to be in the room with his husband for the first time, so he's got to wear the modesty shroud. Let's get to Jacob here. He wants to talk about CeeDee Lamb. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, I literally just saw that video on Twitter, and the quote that was with it, I'm trying to figure out if it's true or not, but apparently he was wearing the net on his head. And he said, my owner won't put curtains up in our stadium, so I have to adapt. So apparently it's supposed to be some sort of message to Jerry about the sunlight being in his head or in his eyes. So I think that's why he was wearing the net.
So people have made that joke because recently Jerry Jones, who has been firmly in the camp of, no, we're not putting up curtains like the World Cup did, I think he's kind of softened on that. I think I saw that in an interview. He may take into account the sun being a hazard to his football team. If you don't know Jerry's World, he built it in a way that the sun shines through, and instead of the old stadium where it shines through to a center portion of the field, this one is coming through at an angle that blinds
just through an end zone, basically.
Catchers at certain points of the day in the Dallas area.
Basically, if you play in the late afternoon,
the Cowboys get a lot of games at that time, and particularly if they're good, they're going to get games at the time. The second window of games on Sunday, so it has been a problem, and we'll see if the message gets delivered.
If I'm Jerry,
if that's actually the message.
If I'm Jerry, this is one where I'm like, I'm 85 years old. I've already dug in. Bleep you guys. Curtains stay open for
yeah,
as long
he remains,
as I'm alive.
He remains resistant.
Yeah.
He was asked about it, and
when Steven's the owner, he can put up curtains. I don't care. When I'm, as long as this I'm is, kicking.
This is my contribution.
Just like bleep you guys.
Yeah.
He's already basically said that, but I'd be disappointed if he ever
puts. So the curtains he won't do, but he may go with tinted windows.
No.
He is thinking about tinted windows.
I want him to.
Is there a version?
Middle finger.
Is there a version of for stadiums like they have for cars, like the police? Too much tint.
Yeah, you can't go over like whatever 4%.
It's like what they do. It's what they do with the visors. You can't, unless you have a medical reason to have a dark visor, you can't wear one.
Yeah.
We will see if Jerry does add a little tint to those windows so it doesn't harm his team in a pivotal moment in a game. It rarely goes in the Cowboys' favor. Like, I don't remember a time I'm sure it's happened, where the opponent was blinded and it screwed the Cowboys over. But I've seen CeeDee Lamb have direct sunlight in his eyes in the end zone and miss a touchdown because of it. Jerry's like, get over it. Put a net over your head and practice and figure it out.
Adjust.
Yeah. Maybe Jerry provided the nets.
I mean, I can see where it's like, hey, you guys play here 8 times a season.
Figure it out.
Yeah, the opposing team plays here once a year. You guys, it should be
advantage. Instead,
Instead, it's a chaos agent to every game we play here.
Yeah, Jerry's been dealing with, hey, shouldn't you change your stadium to better affect your players on two fronts? Like, of course, grass fields. It became a point of contention with the World Cup players. Unless your name was like Cam Hayward, most players are like, hey, we want grass. Not Cam Hayward. Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan, the Saints. Saints defensive end. Players want grass. The Cowboys players would prefer not to be blinded by the sun. And Jerry's a no on both.
Tough.
Cal was asked about, not Jerry's curtains, but Cal yesterday was asked, or maybe 2 days ago, was asked about having NRG or Reliant now with the grass surface, bringing grass back. And Cal talked to a lot of people like they didn't know the Texans' history. He pretty much said, I don't know if you're aware, but we did have grass at one point, and it didn't really work.
It shredded people's ACLs.
And that's why, and it was like a tray system, and it didn't work, and that's why we moved on to turf. And he goes, you know, kind of what the owners have said consistently, we've gotten good reviews on it. I don't know if those reviews are coming from the players, per se, but they have leaned into that. And Hannah gave a much more reasonable, thought-out answer. I know, big surprise. She said that we're actually just tenants. We can't do that unless the actual owners of the facility want it, because they have all these other events that they want to put in. And if they're ripping up our grass, that's a costly thing that has to get replaced. So, you know, and I think Cal chimed in either, I think the circus is coming in or something like that.
Yeah, or they also used to always blame the rodeo.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, you know, the rodeo. We got it. That's why they had to have trays so they could, like, take it in and take it out for the rodeo and circus and all
that. Yeah, Cal led everyone through, who doesn't know Texans grass history, about the trays and how we had it and now we don't.
Yeah.
And then Hannah
pulling up a Wes Welker highlight on his phone.
Those kickers / punters who had their issues. But Hannah was like, hey, we don't actually own this place. We have to answer to we're tenants. We have to answer to the owner. And that is one of the reasons why grass isn't in there. We'll see. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least the reason they give.
Yeah, because we saw how it worked during the World Cup. It wasn't trays. FIFA wouldn't allow it. And gross systems were built for the grass. Yeah. But, of course, it was just a summer of soccer. There were no other events in there. And that's why that could get off without a hitch.
And that's why we need a new stadium in Houston. That's why you guys got to pay for it. Peace.
Like, as much as
see you in Bridgeland,
as much as people will back the players on a lot of things. What'd you say? Sorry, guys. That field turf looks pretty nice. Go ahead. Keep playing. We're building a stadium so you guys can put in real grass.
That's the pivot I'm waiting for. It's like,
hey, guys.
Hey, if you want to, how about this? We'll put a grass field you guys can pay for it.
Yeah. I don't know how much a new grass field in an indoor stadium would cost for maintenance, but we're going to toss that on top of the stadium cost as well. You guys want to do that?
Yeah.
All right, then stop talking about grass fields. Cut it out.
Extra combative Cal McNair.
Guys, what happened to the jovial Cal that would cook me some barbecue? Well, you're playing about my money now.
Yeah.
I'm still my father's son.
Yeah. You know how billionaires
stay billionaires?
Stay billionaires.
They don't just give grass fields to their employees because.
They inherit it and then they keep it.
That's true. They do things not to run the company into the ground if they can. All right, we'll go to break. Hour one's done. We'll come back with hour two. Remember, 11:05, caller 4. All you have to do is give Sean your favorite sounder. It just proves that you listen, at least enough to know that we have them to end the show. End of show sounder, to be clear. End of show sounder that Sean plays as we wrap it up every day. You give that to him, and you win. Caller 4 at 11:05. If you want to get in for something beyond that, the number is 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.